Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hitchcock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But it's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about savoring the things of God." We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 27 to 33. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 27. "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Who do men say that I am? Verse 28. And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. Verse 29. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, Thou art the Christ. Verse 30. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Verse 32, and he spoke that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Verse 33, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. The word savourest in Strong's is number 5426. It comes from another word which means to exercise the mind. That is to entertain or have a sentiment or an opinion. By implication, to be mentally disposed, more or less, earnestly in a certain direction. Intensively to interest oneself in, with your own concerns or obedience. Set your affection on, be careful, or be like or be one of the same, or be of the same mind. The word translated savourest in this passage is used more than 20 times in the New Testament. On both occasions, Jesus used this word. Immediately afterwards, he talked about denying yourself and taking up your cross daily to follow him. This makes this word savourest significant. The reason you may not be following Jesus today is because you are still savoring the things of men. James said in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Following Jesus, you will have the cross before you and the world behind you. The old hymn says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The things of the world should be decreasing in value to you if you're following Christ on the narrow path. In Acts chapter 28, verse 22, the same word savorous used by Jesus is translated thinkest or thinking. In Romans 8:5, the word savorous is translated do mind or be mindful in the King James Version. Savorous also appears in Romans 12:3 and is translated as to think. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, this is Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul said not to take any initiative yourself to think about your own temporal life. He gave a list of things to think about instead, if you're on the narrow way. Thinking about anything else could lead to temptation. Paul said to give thanks in such a way that what you're going through is from God. People savoring the things of the world will tell you to look after yourself. These people are kind and sincere, but they have at least one foot in the world. You do not need to be concerned about your temporal life and try and preserve it. Jesus continued in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 37. This is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Verse 37. But what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The teaching that the Messiah must suffer caused a reaction in the disciples. Jesus was teaching a mystery to the Jews. The disciples were not savoring the things of God after hearing that Jesus must suffer and die. Jesus then called all the people to hear the truth about saving their souls. Your soul is your character. You might get temporal things in this world through serving money, but lose your soul. You have to be prepared to lose something in the natural realm to gain something spiritual. James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Without patient endurance, you will never see how God provides everything his way. You'll always be tempted to get what you want, when you want, in the flesh. Paul had been transformed using the precious promises of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The word savorous in Strong's means to exercise your mind. Man was not designed to think independently of God. Mankind is fearfully and wonderfully made. The brain has the capacity to hold large amounts of information designed by God for him to put his divine thoughts there. Science tells us that man is only using about 5% of his total brain capacity. God created you and your mind, so he knows how to make it run more efficiently, controlled by the Spirit. Man has been consulting his own mind since he was separated from God through sin, operating in the flesh. Those living by faith have learned a new habit of listening instead. The psalmist said in Psalms 46, verse 10 and 11. This is in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, I'm reading verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The word refuge in Strong's is number 4869. For another word, it means like a cliff or lofty or inaccessible place. Abstractly, altitude. Figuratively, a refuge. This is also a place in Moab, like a defense, a high fort or tower. Time is running out. Once God is exalted among the heathen, then the cup of God's wrath will be poured out. God will be exalted in the tribulation. The situation leading up to him being exalted will also be used to shake the world too and get his bride ready. The only solid fortress in these last days will be the kingdom of God. Paul said in Romans 14 and verse 17. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The peace of God is available now in the kingdom of God. This includes the peace of God that passes all understanding. Those in the kingdom of God get joy from doing the will of the Father. This is only possible in the Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. At the end of this dispensation, everyone would declare that Jesus is Lord. Even the devil will bow the knee. The devil will be convicted when he sees the way Jesus deals mercifully and fairly with all those he used and abused and nearly destroyed. Everyone would declare that Jesus is acting on the Father's instructions. You should be seeking God with fear and trembling now, knowing that the only thing that will please God now is obedience to the Spirit in thought, purpose, and action. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, verse 33. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus explained, anyone ignoring his sayings was foolish, building their house upon the sand. Those applying Jesus' teaching are wise and will experience his provision. If you do not seek his kingdom first, your priorities are wrong, because you have developed a taste for the things of the world. You also like what this world is offering without any self-denial. But this is a trap. James said in James chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. This is James chapter 3, I'm reading verse 15. This wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Those born again, left behind in the tribulation, will be guilty of getting their priorities all wrong. God is transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. God is not corrupt, and he has not been corrupted by the devil either. He is the source of all love everywhere. He is constant and will not be moved. To live eternally with him, you have to give up this natural lifestyle and live controlled by him. He knows what to do and will always tell you the truth because he cannot deny himself. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. The word savorous in Strong's also means to hold, to have, or express a sentiment. Human sentiments can become over-sentimental. Emotionalism, finer feelings, tender feelings, tenderness, softness, soft-heartedness, or tender-heartedness in this world. God created you to express all his feelings at different times. He can express a variety of feelings through you, but he has to be in control of your emotions and feelings. Those with the same sentiments are often drawn to each other in a relationship. Anyone can have a thought prompted by earthly passions. If you are born again, you can also have a thought prompted by the Holy Spirit through your relationship with God. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15 to 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm starting in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Keeping commandments does not sound very sentimental. God's ways are not man's ways. They are higher, and therefore do not make sense to your natural mind. But that is why you receive the Holy Spirit if you're born again. Now that you are born again, you can fall in love with Jesus. If you really want to show him love and experience his sentiments, seek his commands for your life. God is love, and he can't do anything that's not the best for your life. Jesus continued in John chapter 14 and verse 21. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, He it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Savorous in Strong's also means to hold or have or express an opinion. Joseph Hedgecock would always say that opinions are like noses and everyone has one, so you don't need another nose. A natural opinion is a judgment made without all the facts. In this world, you might have heard the phrase, if in doubt, get a second opinion. In the flesh, you are cut off from God, and you never have all the information. God's opinion is based on all the information, but his judgment will be made at the very end to give everyone else time to change or repent before that day comes. In the flesh, you're always tempted to make a guess or presume. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Those who have the mind of Christ can make a correct judgment about everything. They're not guessing or have an opinion because they are listening to God. This is only available in Christ. His words need to abide in you and replace all those opinions you have based on social media and what the world says is truth. If you abide in Christ, then you will do nothing without him. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 to 7. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm reading verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Savorous in Strong's means to be mentally disposed. It means to be focused. And you can be focused on God's plan or your own mission. If you want to complete God's mission, then you have to start small and be faithful in the little things first. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. To be faithful, you will have to respond many times to the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit, you might be rushing to do something because you sense an urgency in the Spirit. Someone else might ask you, why are you rushing so much? Controlled by the Spirit, your old life is dead. You are not thinking or anxious about your own needs. You are peaceful inside, but on high alert. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Savorist in Strong's also means you have an intense interest in something. Paul was passionate about the gospel. This was part of his relationship with God. You can also have an intense interest in something godly or something worldly. You see people devoted to an act. Activity that is just temporal without God. This may be autistic. God can use anything and everything if it's part of his plan to serve others. Jesus was speaking to his own disciples and said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 and 41. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 40. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Verse 41. And he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. We do not serve God for rewards, but there are rewards for those who are faithfully serving God with an intense desire for God and the things of God. Enoch devoted his whole life to just pleasing God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Savoring the wrong things will affect your daily obedience. If you still savor the things of the world, then you will stop asking God and eventually go back to the flesh. You may listen to a wrong voice that will tell you what you want to hear. Do not think that everyone gets the same rewards. What you do now is affecting what you will get in eternity. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38 says this, And Jesus called to him the throng with his disciples, and said to them, If anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget, ignore, disown, and lose sight of himself and his own interests, and take up his cross, and joining me as a disciple and siding with my party, follow with me continually, cleaving steadfastly to me. For whosoever wants to save his higher spiritual eternal life will lose the lower natural temporal life, which is lived only on earth. And whoever gives up his life, which is lived only on earth, for my sake and the gospel's, will save it, his higher spiritual life in the eternal kingdom of God. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life in the eternal kingdom of God? For what can a man give as an exchange, a compensation, a ransom in return for his blessed life in the eternal kingdom of God? For whosoever is ashamed here and now of me and my words in this adulterous, unfaithful, and preeminently sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory, splendor, and majesty of his Father with the holy angels. You may see some nice things in creation and begin to believe that the world is not so bad. However, Jesus described this last generation as sinful and adulterous. Those in the church with one foot in the world are committing spiritual adultery. The disciples were using their minds and could not see a huge difference between the higher life of Jesus and the lower life offered by the Pharisees. It was going to become very clear that the Pharisees, along with Herod, were just puppets of the devil putting Jesus on the cross. Jesus asked the disciples a simple question. The disciples answered, and Jesus asked them a second question. Before anyone else spoke, Peter declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter observed so many miracles following Jesus and could not resist the conclusion that Jesus was truly God manifested in the flesh and proceeded from the Father. He saw how Jesus was not conformed in any way to this world. Peter did not let his own opinions hinder him from hearing and declaring the truth. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, this is 1 John chapter 5, I'm starting in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he had testified of his Son. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that received not God hath made him a liar, because he received not the record that God gave of his Son. In the Message Bible, 1 John 5, verses 9 and 10 says, if we take human testimony at face value, how much more should we be reassured when God gives testimony as he does here, testifying concerning his Son? Whoever believes in the Son of God inwardly confirms God's testimony. Whoever refuses to believe in effect calls God a liar, refusing to believe God's own testimony regarding his Son. The Holy Spirit can witness in every heart that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the living God, that he came in the flesh, never sinned, and dwelt among us. The Jews could not see the need for the cross. Parts of the scripture that religious leaders do not understand today are excluded in the same way. Many cults today do not believe that Jesus is divine and will face the judgment. Jesus has to be 100% God and 100% man as the mediator between God and man. Israel did not need a political solution, but repentance from dead works. This is why Christ died, to give everyone with a heart after God an equal chance by his Spirit to repent of dead works. We read in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 all the way to verse 14. This is Zechariah chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Verse 11. Then answered I, and said unto him, what are the two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? Verse 12. And answered again, and said unto him, what be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Verse 13. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 14. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Zerubbabel, also spelled Zerubbabel in 6th century BC, was the governor of Judea, under whom the rebuilding of the Jewish temple at Jerusalem took place. Of Davidic origin, Zerubbabel is thought to have originally been a Babylonian Jew who returned to Jerusalem at the head of a band of Jewish exiles and became governor of Judea under the Persians. Influenced by the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, he rebuilt the temple. As a descendant of the house of David, Zerubbabel rekindled Jewish beliefs. Zechariah did not interpret what he saw in the vision with his own mind, but asked God more questions. If you are a child of God, you can do the same. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Peter chapter 1 I'm reading verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If you want to understand the Bible, you need a personal relationship with God. Rely on personal conviction by His Spirit to identify the word of truth where you need to repent. Personal holiness will also give you ears to hear what He meant by what He said. Peter's own personal interpretation was exposed in Mark chapter 8. He started defending lies and even rebuked Jesus. We read in Mark chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. This is Mark chapter 8. I'm reading verse 15. And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on pages 2 and 3, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the devil uses many tricks to keep Christians from becoming spiritual and growing up spiritually. We must not be ignorant of his devious lies. God has given me many truths that expose the devil's plans. God wants all of his children to know these truths. I've been sharing truth with Christians for over 40 years. I've traveled to over 100 different nations around the world. I have shared with believers from many cultural and denominational backgrounds. Some have had ears to hear while others have not. I have been astounded by the large number of Christians who do not know the basic truths God wants His children to know. A few years ago, I asked the Father, what is the main reason your children do not know what you want them to know? He answered, what they think they know hinders them from knowing what I want them to know. I asked God what that meant. He replied, when you think you know something, whether it's truth or not, you release your faith into it. From that point on, this is what you believe about that particular subject. You may no longer seek any more information on that topic because you already believe you know the truth. If someone tries to share something different with you, you will usually resist because what they say is contrary to what you believe. You believe you are right, so they must be wrong. This is not a problem if what you believe is the truth. But what if it is actually a lie? Jesus was getting his disciples ready. He warned them not to listen to the Pharisees or Herod. The religious leaders thought they were righteous, keeping Jewish traditions and ready for the Messiah. Yet the devil used them to crucify Jesus. At the cross, the disciples would be scattered and Jesus betrayed, according to the scriptures. The teaching of the cross was a mystery for the sake of the Gentiles. Soon after the resurrection, Philip was directed by an angel to help a devout eunuch visiting Jerusalem and seeking the truth on his way back to Africa. We read in Acts chapter 8, verses 30 to 35. This is Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb, before his shearer, So he opened he not his mouth. Verse 33. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Any lie you believe to be the truth, exposed by the Spirit of truth, is proof that in the past you were using your mind trying to come to the truth. You had to resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit if you're born again at that time. Your carnal mind will only accept a devilish version of the truth that agrees with your own personal desires. Those in the flesh have a private, special interpretation of Scripture or prophecy. Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Those in the church on a way that seems right become religious and sorrowful. Soon their facial expression looks like they have been eating a lemon or baptized in lemon juice. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words at which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For more information on the right method of learning in the church, please refer to the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hitchcock. Church denominations are divided by lies through those using their natural carnal minds trying to understand the Scriptures. They struggle and have large areas of doctrine half complete. Those using their minds and savoring the things of men have brought corruption into the church. Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. This is Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who have been trained to use their natural mind will not let go and let God give them a spiritual education. The devil uses them to interpret Scripture his way, establish lies, and become puppets in Bible school teaching doctrine of demons, just like the Pharisees. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, this is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confessed not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Jesus stripped himself of all his divine power and authority and took on human form. He never consulted his own will or used his divine nature. Jesus emptied himself and relied only on what the Father directed through the Holy Spirit and nothing more. This is how the mind of Christ operated. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28 to 30, and reading John's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Many born-again Christians claim to have the mind of Christ just because they are born again, but they are still consulting their own minds. Jesus never did this. They listen to lies without testing anything, with the witness of the Holy Spirit. The fruit in their lives shows that they are still sinning. They even ignore the bad fruit in their lives, that they are not spiritual. They will end up in the resurrection of damnation if they continue to do evil. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The Corinthians were carnal and challenged Paul, but he explained that he was going to expose the true motives and attitudes in the leaders with spiritual weapons. It was not going to be pleasant for those with an impure motive, but at the end, everyone would know where they were wrong and how. They also had to repent and correct themselves before helping anyone else. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 15 to 19 says, beware of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they are out to rip you off some way or other. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. These diseased trees with their bad apples are going to be chopped down and burned. Whatever Christ needed on earth came to him through the directions of the Holy Spirit. He never sinned. Those savoring the things of men in the church today are attracted to false prophets, declaring blessings, breakthrough, and miracles. They speak vainly about a greater amount of power or authority. Jesus maintained his position and rank and did not become any less the Word by taking on human form, because he was still submitted to the Father. You do need the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you receive this already, why are you still not operating with the same power today? Unless you took over the Lordship and went back to the flesh to get what you want. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 1, on page 27, Joseph Edgecott writes about the hotel principle. He says, to explain trusting the Lord with all your heart, I use the illustration of a large hotel having 1,000 rooms. Every room is some part of your nature. Maybe in 50 of those rooms you trust God, but you have 950 rooms you do not trust Him with. We tend to open the doors one at a time. In one decision, I chose to give God the master key, which opened all 1,000 rooms. He can open any door He wants, anytime He wants. Satan tried to deceive me. He said God would open all the doors at once, and it would be overwhelming. He said everything I did wrong would be brought to light at the same time. God doesn't do that. He starts with one room and has fellowship with you there. Then He deals with another room that hinders you from going to the next level until that room is cleared out. There could be one room with 50 things in it that must be dealt with before that whole room trusts God. He gives you the grace to work on one at a time. And when He decides it's no longer time to work in that room, He shuts the door and locks it. Everything else in that room is covered by grace until it is time for the Spirit to deal with it. It is not held against you. God already sees what is behind every door in your hotel. Why not give Him the master key so His work can be completed in you? In this way, you are renewed day by day and become like Christ. It is time to be honest and admit that what you have allowed Satan to do because of ignorance, unbelief, or rebellion. Those who savor the things of God are happy to keep asking God everything. They know the kingdom of God is already here now. When Jesus sets up His kingdom, they will also get to ask Him everything because they have learned to communicate and hear His voice now. We read in the book of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Isaiah 59. I'm starting in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is the ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. The remedy for what God provides comes through hearing His voice. Some prefer a short-term remedy to the spiritual crisis in their lives based on miracles and more power. Afterwards, they go back to the way they were before, serving God on their own terms and depart from the truth. Iniquity is what separates you from a rich, deeper spiritual life. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In the Message Bible, Proverbs 3, verses 7 to 8 says, don't assume that you know it all. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. You remain humble by listening and letting the Holy Spirit control you, your emotions and your feelings consistently. You have to choose between being baptized in lemon juice and baptized in the Holy Spirit glowing with health. To depart from evil, you need to acknowledge God in everything with the fear of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 to 11. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm beginning in verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. The word dwell in Strong's is number 3611. It comes from some other words which means to occupy a house, that is to reside, figuratively, to inhabit, remain, inhere. By implication, to cohabit, dwell. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 8 verses 8 to 11 says, "So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please God or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead, he will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit can be in you, but not dwelling in you, since you're born again. If he's dwelling in you, he's also living in you. He is in charge, controlling you, and you are submitted to him. Your life will become more Christ-like every day, with the Spirit controlling you. You'll be asking God how to do even simple tasks with the fear of God." In the Message Bible, Romans 8, verse 9 to 11 says, "But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised up Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he will do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. The Holy Spirit was given to those who have repented of dead works so that they can effectively follow Christ. It was not given to everyone who calls him Lord. Only God knows the decision that's made in a man's heart. Those following him will not be savoring the things of man, but the things of God instead." Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know that whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us." You have to go without some things to follow Christ, but these are things you cannot take with you anyway. He decides what you need now and what you can do by grace. Something in this life you are holding on to is like a door still closed to the Holy Spirit. It's better for you to be on the narrow path without anything that stops you trusting God with all your heart. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you is a guarantee of your eternal inheritance now. John said in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 2, "For the truth's sake which dwells in us and shall be with us forever." The Spirit should have full freedom to convict and challenge and change whatever he wants as the master of your life. Each area for repentance must be processed. If you confess and tell God what you did and why you did it, that opens the door to God. While the conviction is still there, he will show you by grace through faith how Satan got in through your hardened, evil heart of unbelief. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Not everyone who is born again will be ready for his appearing, because they did not listen and submit to the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit is here so you can do the perfect will of God. You may blame God or others for your own shortcomings, but they are the result of going back to the flesh, making the decisions using your own reason and understanding. The Holy Spirit is a seal that you received in you when you accepted that you belong to Him. You got this seal by making Him Lord, and you agreed to keep following Christ up until the last day. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. This is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if you abide and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Spiritual Maturity, in page 9, Joseph Hedgecott writes, I consistently obeyed Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That was Paul's focus, and that was my focus. If you want to become spiritually mature, it must be your focus. My flesh weakened to the point that it no longer had the power to stop me from obeying the Lord. It did not slow me down. Then finally, it had no place in me. I was able to walk in kingdom principles and grow up in the Lord. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I spend very little time in the flesh. If I make a mistake, I repent quickly. I ask the Lord to show me how Satan and my flesh were able to lead me astray. I ask for divine revelation about how to keep from making that mistake again. I do not want my flesh to have any power over me, so I maintain the attitude that my flesh is the enemy. To kill the flesh, you must move into Christ by humbling yourself and confessing your sin. You'll go through some chastening to remove the wrong foundation in you. Every lesson you learn through conviction will help you to walk consistently in the Spirit. Those who are good at repentance have closed the doors to the devil and are wearing the armor of light they gained in its place. If you are still seeking the things in this world, you will not believe the flesh is your enemy. If you do not kill the flesh, you are denying Christ his rightful place. We read in John chapter 6 and verses 60 to 71. This is John's Gospel, chapter 6, and I'm starting in verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? Verse 62. And what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Verse 64. For there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him? Verse 65. And he said, Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my father. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 70. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Verse 71. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Getting Started, on pages 21 and 22, Joseph Hedgecott writes, Many of God's children never deal with his lordship for the same reason. Many stopped following Jesus when he was on the earth. Jesus' preaching did not make sense in their carnal minds, and they did not want to follow him because it seemed too hard. John 6, verses 60 to 66. But the disciples chose to trust and obey him, and they became the hearers of faith. So I ask you, what will you do? The disciples recognized that Jesus was speaking the truth. However, those who savored the things of men stopped following Jesus. They did not like the hard sayings. They preferred to keep their options open with the religious leaders. It was those who Jesus chose that were prepared to follow him to Jerusalem at this point, because they did not love the world. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father abides forever. God has given you grace and everything you need in Christ Jesus. He wants you to use that grace to live in the Spirit. You might make mistakes and end up back in the flesh, but you can repent, then you will not make the same mistake twice. Those disciples recorded their mistakes in the Gospels for your sake. Jesus said in John 17, verses 15 to 17, This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, and reading verse 15. I pray not that thou would take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Even if you are born again, you can still be of this world. Judas had kept his options open with the religious leaders and went out to betray Christ. Jesus prayed for the rest of his disciples to be kept from evil. Jesus was also praying for his disciples to have more time to repent and be sanctified by truth. The word of truth, not the written scriptures, is the word God uses to convict and change your life personally. Also said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Do not deceive yourself. If your life is not becoming more ungodly, or your life is not changing, then you are not studying the word of truth. Do not study something with your mind. Your carnal mind cannot come to truth. Study what God has brought to light through conviction. Refuse to be part of any discussions that lead to an increase in ungodliness in your life or in the life of others in the church. Jesus said in John 14:26, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. If your life does not change with the best teacher inside you, something is wrong. You must be hardening your heart. God is not just teaching on a subject to give us more information. He knows the most important area you need to work on now. Everyone needs to repent in order to grow spiritually. Use a notebook and then record what verses of Scripture come back to your mind as well. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint, in Chapter 2 on Practical Instructions, on page 35, Joseph Hedgecott writes, remember to process each truth that is divinely revealed to you in the Spirit, especially if you are convicted. If you process truth in the Spirit, repent of what is contrary to the truth, and embrace the truth by faith, peace and revelation will flow. You should hear directions about what to do, what not to do, and any hindrances that are in your way. Remember to keep it simple. One important thing to remember is to guard against ways that seem right. The devil will try to distract you with good ideas to fix your problems, but he can only do this if you are Lord. Stay in the Spirit and let your teacher do the work. As soon as you try to fix your spiritual problems by yourself, you have become Lord. Those that have the ministry of reconciliation are reconciled to God themselves first. They can help others because they know how to change and have the fruit of the Spirit in abundance. It is also the fruit of repentance. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 23. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Verse 21. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the Word or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Verse 23. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. In the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 20 says, stop fooling yourselves. If you count yourself above average in intelligence, as judged by this world's standards, you had better put this all aside and be a fool rather than let it hold you back from the true wisdom from above. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As it says in the book of Job, God uses man's own brilliance to trap him. He stumbles over his own wisdom and falls. And again in the book of Psalms, we are told the Lord knows full well how the human mind reasons and how foolish and futile it is. So don't be proud of following the wise men of this world, for God has already given you everything you need. He's given you Paul and Apollos and Peter as your helpers. He has given you the whole world to use, and life and even death are your servants. He has given you all of the present and all of the future. All are yours, and you belong to Christ, and Christ is God's. You will get the help you need from those who are following Christ on the narrow way. The one with no opinion and devoid of suggestions is the wise one that God can use in his hand. The more you help God, the less he can do. He wants the glory for what he does. If you do the work, then that is your glory, because you did it by consulting your mind. Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Jesus emptied himself and was obedient unto death, and got the power he needed by submitting himself to God. That looks very foolish in the carnal mind, but you need to change your thinking. Jesus had the same power and authority in the beginning that he had when he took on human form, because he was still submitted to the Father through the Holy Spirit. That same power and authority is available to you when you become a living sacrifice. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In the Message Bible, Romans 12, 1-3 says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. There are easy lessons and harder lessons. You can prove all things with or without peace. Many are not willing to grow up spiritually. If there is any suffering involved, they deceive themselves that suffering is unnecessary because they have a fear of suffering, even though Christ suffered. At the same time, carnal believers are willing to suffer to get what they want through the flesh. Jesus could hear his Father clearly. The Father met his every need, and he was tempted but never sinned. If you understood God's plan for your life with your carnal mind, you would mess it up and do something in the flesh. We read in Matthew 11, verse 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. The understanding of the wise and the prudent fails because they cannot come to truth with their carnal minds. They rely on what they see and what makes sense to their minds. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. To know what's going to happen before is superior. God can see the end from the beginning, and his Spirit will direct you based on what he can see in the future. However, man does not accept God's witness. Those who are born again and stay humble can recognize when something is not the truth and will not follow. In the Living Bible, Matthew 11:25 says, And Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves so wise and for revealing it to little children. You do not have the grace to listen to everything others are saying unless the Lord allows this. Stay humble and listen to God, and He will give you grace to recognize truth. The Holy Spirit will bear witness if something is from God and grieve when it's of the devil. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 2. Is only what I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? You can start in the Spirit with a basic foundation, but this must include repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Keep working on your salvation by obeying the Spirit, and you will have a righteousness by faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. This is Romans chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 1:17 to 18 says, For in the gospel a righteousness which God ascribed is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. The moment you move in the flesh, you hinder the truth for yourself and others by being a bad example. You will call others to stumble. It's wicked to hinder the truth for the sake of achieving your own aim and fulfilling your desires in this world. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. This is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Every Christian living in the light is joyful. Those who are not joyful love their lives rather than repentance and fellowship with God. This is idolatry. To get what you want in this world by going back to the darkness is sin. To do that, you have to take back the control of your life and be Lord of your own life. At that point, you are no longer a living sacrifice to God. The devil is the god of this world, and he will help you develop bad habits so you live in darkness. You might get something now without asking God, but it will only make things worse. Do not make choices based on what is available in this world. Carnal Christians with no fear of God repress the truth to get what they want, when they want, and believe that's okay. They will not have an inheritance themselves by living in the flesh. Their example will also cause others to stumble and do the same and start serving money instead. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Everyone needs to become like a little child. Trust and obey. those who have the ability to hear God now in all areas, avoid becoming anxious. With little or no pressure, you can hear his voice. When there is a lot to process all at once, you'll be tempted to go back to your own reasoning and understanding. Those still savoring the things of men have a weak foundation. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, as soon as you start doing what he is saying, you will be energized. Do not be afraid of being tired anymore. When you are weak, he will quicken your mortal bodies, even if you are struggling. This is the confirmation that he's dwelling in you. When you feel tired, just deny yourself and do what God says. To obey God is always a greater expression of love in a challenging situation. And as a result, you will reap more love from God. This love will also enable you to overcome fear. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. This is Romans chapter 1, I'm reading verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 10. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. The church in Rome had received the gospel, but they were not established. The Holy Spirit was in them, but not dwelling in them. This is a mystery to many church denominations today that believe you only need to be born again and receive the Holy Spirit. They often have many gaps in their theology, listening to a wrong voice. Those who are born again need to look at the fruit and see if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in them. Joseph Hedgecock used an illustration of a hotel with many rooms to explain the difference. You were supposed to give the master key of your heart to Jesus by making him Lord through the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. The church in Rome understood doctrine and did things mechanically. The Holy Spirit is your best help, and you need to let him manifest freely because he knows the will of God. You should be following his leading and not quenching the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 18 to 23. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Verse 20. Despise not prophesyings. Verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Verse 23. And the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can take thoughts captive and test everything in the Spirit. Your Father loves you, and if you do not get anxious, you will not be tempted to take over the Lordship. Peter needed the peace of God that passes all understanding, trying to understand God's ways. With his carnal mind, he began to rebuke Jesus in Mark 8 and took over the Lordship. Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. This is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. If you savourest the things of men and this world, you will not get on the narrow way. It makes no sense. You will eventually stop asking God. Listen to answers that fit your own opinions, desires, and dreams, and deceive yourself that God is speaking when he's not. Preachers adjust the word of God to fit their own doctrines or those of their own denomination. Do not assume someone who has a PhD in theology is mature. Those who are mature have the fruit from denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Ephesians 4, verses 30 to 31 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded, as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, a final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper and resentment, anger, animosity and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will or baseness of any kind. You do not lose the Holy Spirit when you get in the flesh, but instead he grieves because you are now Lord of your own life again. Paul spoke to the church in Ephesus about being ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This grieving of the Spirit can start whenever you think about doing something that is not from the Lord. This is because he sees the end from the beginning. He also starts grieving when you have sentiments and opinions of the world. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, I'm reading Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There is no condemnation in Christ. The grieving you get is the evidence that you have God's seal. Let all bitterness and wrath be banished from you with all malice. If you have any hatred in your heart or mind or bitterness, God is resisting you. Stop and forgive those who've sinned against you. The church of Ephesus did not repent and ended up losing their first love. They were already savoring the things of the world. Ephesus was a port city leading to the other seven churches in Asia. Their lives have become complicated because they're trying to serve two masters. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 26. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. I'm reading verse 23. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 25. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Holy Spirit is inside you because you accepted Jesus Christ to be your owner. Everyone born on this planet belongs to God through creation, but they have not received God's stamp. At salvation, you should have repented of dead works and received God's ownership on your life through the Holy Spirit. At salvation, you should have removed the anger and bitterness in your life. The anger and bitterness is the evidence you have not repented of dead works. Your evil speaking is a lack of love, but this will be solved when you start doing what he wants and receive the love you need." Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, this is Hebrews chapter 6, I'm reading verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Bad works will help you identify dead works, but you may still be doing dead works that are good, but not from God. In the ministry, we say good is the enemy of best. You need to examine yourself in terms of the fruit of the Spirit. In these last days, grace is going to increase for those serving others out of love, not gratifying the desires of the flesh. God does not need human understanding or human resource to fulfill his own plan for your life. Your resources can even hinder God's plan. God loves you, and every day he is trying to help you overcome this world. He is trying to teach you important lessons where you failed before. With God, you can repeat those lessons again so you eventually overcome. God is supposed to be your source. You are given the honorable task to represent him with all the resources of heaven. You are not to represent yourself and use your strengths, giftings, and abilities without his authorization. You were designed with a void inside that God alone was supposed to fill. You were designed like a dumb box. If your box is full of stuff, then get rid of that first. Then you'll become a channel so God can flow through you. Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 to verse 9. This is Matthew chapter 5. I'm reading verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about savoring the things of God. There are so many wonderful experiences you may be missing out on your journey just because you're putting your own needs first. I pray that through this message, God has touched your heart and made you realize that there is more by learning to trust Him with all your heart, opening up those areas that need Him. You can identify them easily by the Holy Spirit grieving in you. You will recognize areas where you're bitter and there is still strife in your heart. Use this opportunity now, by God's grace, to not only recognize and admit and confess those areas, but ask God to show you what needs to change. He knows. And you can begin to study and examine yourself in those areas and come to repentance. I encourage you now to take every opportunity as the grace of God is here for you. Father in heaven, I pray for everyone who's listening to this message that God, you touch their heart, quicken the message and the things that they've heard back to their minds and help them grow up spiritually, learning every day from you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you for listening. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. We would love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.